Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Station. This is a Rivalry Week edition of Dirt and Spray.
A little screen to Lamar. Lamar's going to get the first down, and Mar, he might go all the way. 30. He's at the 20. He's got enough speed to go to the house.
Brought to you by Roto-Rooter, the experts in plumbing, drains, and water cleanup. Oregon versus Oregon State.
Why do you just blindly follow and support everything that your program does? And I'm sitting in my living room watching this game, having this bad feeling because I've seen this game a million times in my life.
It's Rivalry Week on the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 FM, 1080 AM, and the Odyssey app.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network.
43 Dallas, ready?
Red Foley, Red Foley, 59, Blue Pots, 58,
24 double. Here we go.
Here we go indeed. Welcome in a Football Friday edition of Dirt and Sprague.
What is happening?
I will vow by next week when we're back to Football Friday again.
Yeah, our next round of Football Friday.
It'll be a really big Football Friday.
That's going to be a big kahuna next Friday.
We'll call it the Big Kahuna Football Friday.
It'll be a major college football Friday, a Ryder Cup Friday. Next week's NFL slate is awesome Friday. It's going to be a big Friday next Friday.
I will vow that by next week.
Yeah, what do you got?
Those quarterback drops will have been slightly changed and added some more.
We're going to have new quarterback drops by next Friday.
Enhanced.
Yes.
And refreshed.
Well, we need a little
updated.
Less Andrew Luck. There's a little too much Andrew Luck in there for my liking.
Yeah, he hasn't played in a long time. He hasn't been in the league in a minute.
I want to drop the Monday. It always sounds weird to me on a Friday.
It does. Can I ask, and maybe I can go dig some of these up too. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be fun to have a couple of newer quarterbacks in the mix calls.
Yeah, my goal is that.
I also think it'd be fun. Like, let's go pull a Troy Aikman. What's a Troy Aikman call sound like?
It's literally what my plan is.
That is. You're going to go, okay. Yes. Okay, good. John Elway.
Kyler Murray.
Does he have a snap count? What does Kyler Murray sound like?
I don't. That's a good question.
I don't know if I've ever. I mean, if you could probably play a snap count for me and I wouldn't recognize it.
Like clapping.
A lot of clapping there.
A lot of clapping in my mind because I don't think he has a home field advantage ever, and nobody goes on the road to root for them.
Speaking of tone deaf things on social media, did you see what Kyler Murray did this week?
The Vic thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that.
He posted a picture on Instagram wearing a Michael Vick jersey holding a pit bull.
Well, it's his pit bull.
I know, it's his pit bull.
Wasn't like he's like, I got the Vick jersey on, let me go get a pit bull.
Like, of all the jerseys you could have worn to post a picture with a pit bull, maybe Michael Vick not option number one.
Also had clipped ears. I'm like, oh,
yeah,
dude.
Come on, dude. What are we doing here?
Would that dog be minus money?
Yes. The answer to that is yes. I want nothing to do with that.
I'm actually going to start today.
Ooh.
With something that angered me last night, and it didn't involve the Buffalo Bills.
Did not involve not covering last night, those damn pesky Dolphins.
It did not involve Josh Allen just kind of being meh.
the offense being very meh.
We're going to pull in a clip from that final segment.
They clearly did not take the Dolphins seriously during the week. Wow.
It's a short week. It's a Thursday, and the Dolphins suck. Like, that's, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I get all that, but.
And they still won by 10.
The road team came in ready.
They did, because they were playing for everything. That was it, and they gave you all they got, and it still wasn't good enough.
It is not that, though, no.
Okay, something else pissed you off last night?
Yeah, it actually pissed my whole house off.
Ooh, the Sprigs are all upset.
So, it was a little later than I wanted to be awake, but I was getting some stuff organized, getting ready for the show, getting ready for the morning. And while I was doing this, we had in our house, as we normally do, WNBA playoffs. Okay? Now, you don't need to care about that. I know you didn't watch it. I don't even know if you know the result. That's okay. I don't need you to.
Okay.
But it was the end of the Vegas Aces versus the Seattle Storm.
Got it.
In the pivotal, most dire of game threes.
So this is a winner-take-all game three.
Winner moves on. Loser go home.
Yep. Okay. Winner goes and takes on the Fever, who upset the Dream last night.
Yes.
Seattle winning this game would be a massive upset in Vegas. Okay?
Is Caitlin Clark coming back for the next round?
No, she's out for the year.
She's out for the rest of the year?
Yeah.
Oh, what a bummer.
Cue the Ewing theory.
Oh.
The Patrick Ewing theory?
Okay.
They've got farther this year without
They did,
her.
Yeah. Oh, we calling overrated Caitlin Clark?
I mean, you know.
Not making her teammates better?
Lee Kings, but well, Caitlin Clark. Team's doing better without her. I don't know. You know, I don't know. Anyways, I digress. I love Caitlin Clark.
I don't know if you do. I think you hate
Aaliyah her. Boston's getting the ball.
Anyways, the end of this game, the Storm are hanging it. They're making it tough. Like, they might be able to win the game, okay? Which, again, massive upset. You don't even know the result.
Huge upset.
This is what happens. 5 seconds left. One of the Storm players shoots a midi. Back iron bounces.
I'm assuming they're losing the game.
They're down one.
Down one.
They're
okay.
down one.
Down
There's
by
five
one.
5 seconds left. Okay, this is
game-winning shot, 5 seconds to go.
The ball bounces back rim, kind of gets tapped. Skylar Diggins grabs the ball. There is 2 seconds left.
Does she play for the offensive or defensive team?
She's on the Storm.
Okay.
Okay. Her back's kind of to the basket. At this time, I'm like, turn on, shoot, turn on,
shoot it. Yeah, you got it. Shoot.
She turns.
Yeah.
She passes to her teammate.
On the baseline.
Gabby Williams. Gabby Williams gets the ball. Gabby Williams shoots. And Dirt, I'm not exaggerating. The minute the ball touches the rim, the horn and the light go off, and all of the lights went off in the arena.
Wait, what?
Yes.
Their celebration at end of game at the Aces is they do like a kill the lights to a laser light show.
Wait, what? Yes.
The ball literally, go look this up. Okay. I know
I think it was before it got to the
rim. I
gotta
go find this now.
I was pretty sure she missed, but it literally hits the rim. And before you see what it does, the lights just, like, sting showing up.
So you
up.
Can't see the ball whether
no,
or not it
anything.
Goes in.
You don't see anything.
No.
It's
and I think
crazy.
It was, I think there was still, like, 2/10 of a second.
Okay, I just pulled up the final possession.
I want you to watch
think
this.
It got
They're
to
dribbling.
Zeros.
Okay, here's a pass.
This
six,
really
five.
Happened.
Right at the free throw
yep.
line jumper.
Misses.
Here's your offensive rebound.
Yep. Kick to the corner.
You
got to
shoot that shot
yep.
there, first off.
I agree.
And it, yeah, oh, my God. You can't see if the ball went in.
It's nuts.
What?
What are you doing?
How do you get away with that?
How does it
There has to be
like
a
that?
League punishment there, right? Like, there has to Dude, be some sort of fine.
Somebody has to call somebody and say, you cannot ever do that again. You wait until it is clearly over before you kill
that
the
That is
lights.
Fantastic. First off, the balls to pass it with 1 second to go without, like, knowing are we even going to get this shot off? Because she catches it with, I don't even know if she got it off. Did
I
they show the replay?
Well, here's the problem.
She
they
got
did.
The shot off.
She did
time.
Get it off because yes. that's as close as you could get. She caught it with like 0.3 left on
caught,
the clock.
Yeah. She got the shot off, okay. I think.
Yeah, no, Diggins should have shot the shot.
Yeah.
But it still is insane to watch a sporting event like that.
I want to see teams start to do this. Like, if there's no punishment for Vegas for doing this on the final shot of the game.
Oh, the Blazers do that?
You imagine this in like, because you get this in college football games now where a lot of stadiums, like your Oregon State does this. They turn the lights off when they score a
yes.
touchdown. Like,
Texas
you should,
Tech does it. A lot of programs do
dude,
this
do
now.
This in the middle of a quarterback dropping back to throw on like a 3rd and 7, just boom, lights off. Yeah, good luck now finding somebody open. Oh, they're back on. We sacked you. 4th down.
Like, imagine Oregon at Penn State, wide out game.
They turn the lights off.
You have DeCorian Moore jump.
Third and eight. He needs a completion
ball
to keep the drive
tipped.
Alive.
Moore looks like he's not going to catch it, but they turn the lights down on and off.
What the hell happened? Am I having a seizure right now when it's taking place?
It is
That's hilarious.
Of the most egregious things I've ever seen in an elimination game on the final possession.
It's not game 17 of the regular season. This is your season, and you lose if the ball goes in. Now I'm really bummed that the shot didn't go in, because that would have been hilarious for the premature celebration of turning the lights off if the shot had gone in. And they all celebrate, and then they turn the lights on, and they have to tell the crowd, oh, by the way, that went in. Our season is over.
So my wife is a big Storm fan until we get a team.
Yeah.
And so we're all like, are you kidding me? You know who texts me about this?
Who?
Chuck.
Chuck sent you a text about this?
Our old colleague,
He's
Chuck.
At home watching WNBA basketball?
He is. He gives me his WNBA thoughts from once in a while. And he texts me, he goes, this is egregious. And I go, I know, dude. I think I'm going to open the show with this.
I'm right there with you, Chuck.
It's nuts.
That is, somebody got fired today. At least I hope somebody got fired today. Or last night, because I don't know if you should have. That's like fire on the tarmac worthy. If you're in charge of the lights.
I agree.
This happens sometimes in baseball where they'll do the premature firework for the home run. It's like a foul ball and somebody will accidentally light one off. You're like, yeah, poof, pop, pop, pop. You're like, that was not a nope.
That was a foul ball. It went the wrong way
it was
there.
On the left side of the pole, not the right side of the pole. And you just wasted a couple of good fireworks for no reason, although I'm not upset about that.
It was great, man. It was a fantastic game. And it just, like, the way it ended, I'm with you. I've seen a lot of aces. I've never seen them do that that quickly.
Yeah, they just do it after a win, but, like, not after the horn hits and then you turn the lights off in the arena.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar days away.
Thank you.
From the Portland Trail Blazers, tipping things off.
I think it's Scottie Pippen.
That was the only answer.
Scottie Pippen. Six rings.
Why is
Go away.
He also has six rings.
Yeah,
he also has six MVPs. Second leading scorer.
It's Larry Bird. Larry Bird days away. Come on. What are we
really?
Doing here? What are we doing? 7-footer with a hook shot. Woo, so cool.
Sounds about white by you.
He's 7'2", by the way.
Scotty's not white. So I covered my tracks there.
You mentioned Larry.
I covered my tracks there, okay? I got each side. Each side covered.
This would be a day where you, Swag, and I end up like just beat the crap out of you, double team you up.
Oh, he's got a hook shot. Huh? Nobody can block it. Wow, that's cool.
No, nobody could block it.
Ooh, he's got Michael Jordan. Ooh, he's so good.
That hook shot from 18 feet, too.
Larry Bird, greatest white player of all time.
Yeah.
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 He definitely is.
I'm not going to argue.
Yeah, he can't argue that one. There's no counter argument.
Who's the
closest
second?
Who's number two? Who's our number two on the all time whites?
Is it technically Mikan?
Is it Jerry West?
Oh, yeah, probably West.
Probably Jerry
West.
That's
a good call.
Okay.
She got West.
Cousy.
Who could forget watching Bob Cousy?
The Pistol.
The Pistol?
The Pistol.
Meredith.
Had his
Jason Williams?
Has his NBA career gone longer?
Yeah, I think that was part of the problem.
That was part of the problem. Walton would have been if he would have stayed.
Oh, you know what? It's probably Walton if we're going from a skill set.
He can't be our second best white of all time, can he? He was great, but in terms of an NBA career.
He was a league MVP and he won a title.
He did, but he can't be better than Jerry West.
Like I said.
Because of the longevity argument.
Hadn't gotten hurt.
Peak player, yes.
Skill wise,
and I don't disagree.
Maybe number one.
Skill wise, he might be number one, but in terms of NBA career.
I'm terrified to post a poll question. Best white.
Who's our second best white of all time?
Four white guys.
What are our other options?
I mean, it's probably West.
Like,
I
see your argument on Bill Walton. I do.
He went to West.
As a peak level player.
9 finals, right? He was 1-8.
Jerry West?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll find a way to do the poll question without just saying
Best White. Is it Steve Nash?
I want an American white.
I think we go American whites.
We're waving the flag.
Because then you could go Dirk Nowitzki. I mean, you could go European whites. Yeah. There's a lot of good European whites.
Jake Butt's going to join the program at 8:30 today. The Civil War has been relegated to the Big Ten Network.
Properly.
I think that's accurate. It is a loaded show. Sprague and Line. Let's get it going. We start the biggest thing coming up this week, and we'll start there. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1, The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair. The best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love.
I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. One of our listeners posted the poll question. Okay. Here it is. After Larry Bird, who is the second best white American NBA player ever? Bill Walton, Jerry West, Bob Cousy, John Stockton.
That's a pretty good group right there.
I'd add Mike in, but we got a few old timers in there, so I'll throw kind of more new age.
Yeah.
And Stockton's one that always flies under the radar.
I mean, he's the all-time leader in assists. That might not ever get broken.
Is he still a leader in steals, too, or did somebody get him?
I believe he is still the leader in steals. I don't know if anybody's going to catch him.
I don't think anybody's going to catch him in either.
But also in the 90s, they had fake stats.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong there.
We literally found that out. They cooked their
John
stats.
John Stockton, number one, 3,265 career steals. Number two is Chris Paul, 2,717.
And he's hanging them up.
He's not.
This is last
getting
year.
Anywhere close to that.
Nobody's getting close.
Jason
to that.
Kidd was number three, 2,684.
Who's the highest? Well, I guess Paul's technically
Paul's
still active.
Still active.
But not for much longer.
Russell Westbrook is 16th at 1,955.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody's touching that record.
Russ is what? He's third?
He is 16th.
16.
But he asked for it. Well, I guess LeBron. My apologies. I scrolled over LeBron. I'm an idiot. 2,345.
So he's still
he's 900
short.
Away. Yeah. 1,000
Where's
away.
LeBron, though, in the ranking?
He is all-time sixth. He
That's
will pass
crazy.
Likely Gary Payton this year.
No.
Yeah, Gary Payton is fifth. He's about 10 ahead of him. So 11 steals for LeBron gets him into top five all-time at steals.
So the poll question of at Dirt and Spray, you can go vote there. I saw something yesterday, and I wasn't surprised in any way to see the headline, but I thought of somebody on our show.
Mm.
How are you going to process Clayton Kershaw finally hanging him up, Swag? I know that was that's a big deal that he finally announced he's going to retire.
I immediately went because the Dodgers finished the season in Seattle. The last weekend of the
I was going to ask if you were going to go buy tickets for that.
I've got...
need to.
A number of things I've already committed to here, so it will be difficult to get up.
Name them.
Family, going to see family members at football games.
Oh, you've been to football games, too.
Yeah, they'll play more.
I understand. We are doing a special Ryder Cup edition of Golf in the Northwest on Saturday morning.
Cheers.
Yep.
Okay.
So, I've had some help.
But that's at like 8 a.m.
It'll be at 9 a.m.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Now, is he going to make a start in that series?
Because
today
know.
Is his last home start.
Today's his last home start against the Giants,
That's
which is very appropriate.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I will be DVRing that for when I get home. Evening plans with the wife. So
unless he wants to, I think you just sit him for the playoffs at that point, right? After
yeah, I mean, I think
start?
This was he wanted to announce it. I would imagine because today yeah. he was lined up to start, and
he's
going to
grab the mic before the game and do
and cry.
Yeah,
probably.
So,
yeah.
I think it's appropriate. I think for him, you know, I think one, he reads the room and sees what the Dodgers are doing with if you know they can keep pitchers healthy.
Mm.
There's not really a spot for him in the rotation. Does he want to go be a reliever or something? No, not really. I also think he's just at a point where to get himself and to get his body ready for whatever he can do in a major league season is just so much work at this point. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame, whether he's a first ballot Hall of Fame.
He will unquestionably be.
It's not even a
ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah, but it's the baseball writers.
He should be unanimous Hall of Famer.
Put anything past him. He'll be in the Hall of Fame. And so when maybe this is the one little tiny thing to bring the Dodgers all focused together to get ready for the playoffs and, hey, let's not worry about all the other crap and injuries and stuff. Let's send Kershaw out properly.
Is he a top five Dodger for you?
In my lifetime, yes. Yeah. All time, I don't know because I mean, the franchise has been around for over 100 years.
And there's been some great players,
some ridiculous names up there. But for me, in my lifetime, as I've watched the Dodgers, yes.
He was a nice side note when they won it last year, because I kind of momentarily forgot about him, and I saw him celebrating and nobody really talked to him. And I'm like, he got a ring.
He got a ring. He got one in the COVID year, too. So technically, he has two.
He has two.
He has two World Series rings.
I don't count the COVID.
The ideal situation would
Manning
be.
Manning ring.
He does.
For Kershaw to like start one of the World Series games early and maybe get a win there, but then to come in and close out, because he's done that before in the playoffs.
He has
come back on short rest and come out of the bullpen, Randy Johnson style, whatever the team needs. If he closed out the clinching game of the World Series, you could not write a Hollywood script any better.
I mean, to me, there's no doubt he's the first ballot Hall of Famer.
He should be, but baseball writers.
I mean, I see your point on baseball
mind.
Writers. He's not going to be unanimous. I would argue, well, there's a lot of players that should be unanimous. He should be unanimous in this era. He is I think you're in the conversation as one of the greatest pitchers of all time, and that might be
certainly
blasphemous for some because the wins won't be there in some of the numbers.
He's certainly one of the best left-handed pitchers of all time.
Dude, his longevity in an era in which nobody had longevity, his consistency in which very few pitchers have had that level of consistency, is remarkable.
And he reinvented himself midway through his career. He started to have some injuries. He couldn't just blow fastballs by dudes, and he perfected the slider. He perfected that curveball, which is drop off the table, the art of pitching. And he's been there with the Dodgers for the last 10 years. All the young and up and comers, he's been teaching them how to pitch. It doesn't work for the bullpen, but for starters, it seems to work.
He is one of just the few rare breeds. And even in a year where he's 37 years old and
hanging it up.
And he
played for the same team his entire career.
Yes, and that just doesn't happen very often. He's 10-2 with a 3.5 ERA. Like, even in his last year in baseball, there's never been a fall-off for him, and it's remarkable. And he's somebody who I've had to watch my team go against too many times again. He's been around for so long. Him versus Tim Lincecum was a big start whenever they would play the Giants. Him versus Madison Bumgarner was a big start whenever they would play the Giants. Like, that's how long he's been around. Lincecum's been out of baseball for almost a decade
now. Who was your ace after Bumgarner? Because I'd add him to that,
Logan
too.
Logan Webb, I mean, Logan Webb was the next one. So, like, that's how long he's been a force in all of baseball and in the National League. Three-time Cy Young Award winner. He won an MVP. He won the Triple Crown in 2011. He pitched in an era in which starting pitchers didn't go long. Starting pitchers didn't throw 200 innings the way that they used to. And he's a guy who could have fit in any era of baseball. And there's not a lot of arms that you could say that about.
Yeah.
He is genuinely like, look, I hate that team and I can't wait to watch them hopefully choke and lose in the playoffs because that brings me joy and my team's not going to make it. He's one of those guys that you just have always had an immense amount of respect for. And every time you had to face Clayton Kershaw in your division, which the Giants seemingly had to face him five or six times a year, you'd show up to the game and just go, well, this is going to be 2-1 or 1-0. We're not going to win today.
It's kind of like Greg Maddux.
And anytime you find a way to beat him, you're like, we beat him today. Hey, that's great. Like, he absolutely dominated the Giants for the last 15, 17 years, however long he's been around. And I'm genuinely going to miss watching him pitch.
He also, I'd say this finally, too, because I just saw a video. Somebody retweeted on our timeline about last night he was talking and he got choked up talking about it. But also, like, an all-time, you can't win the big one. Oh, this sucks. This is kind of sad to watch because we know how great you are. Hey, you finally had a good moment. Hey, you got a ring. Like, kind of one of those weird athletes.
He was
careers.
Always a stand-up guy, too. He never shied away from it.
No.
He took the questions.
I would argue some of those times early in his career, he was hung out to dry by the organization of not trusting the bullpen or sticking with him too long.
Sure.
Like, he was their workhorse, and they just ran him into the ground a couple of times in the playoffs, where he certainly had bad starts and bad moments in the postseason. A lot of players do. But some of that was just not being willing to go to somebody else.
Kind of railroaded what the entire segment was going to be, but I had to get Swag's thoughts on Clayton Kershaw announcing retirement because he's one of the last thoroughbred pitchers we're going to have in our lifetime because the way the sport has evolved, unless they go back the way they used to be. But, you know, you can certainly point to a handful of things today, Dirt, and we will. You can make a real strong argument the biggest sporting event this weekend is Seattle and Houston because of the divisional race. Because it's going to be the separator of the tiebreaker, and because of the standings in the AL playoff picture. I know you're not a Mariners fan. I'm not. We're not Astros fans. But I do think you can make a real argument, biggest thing in sports this weekend,
big deal, dude.
might be Mariners Astros.
Now you've gotten to the point where these ones really matter. Not that they haven't mattered for a long time, but when you got a chance to go win two out of three and take a stranglehold of the division with 1 week to go in the regular season, it's going to be pivotal. It will likely decide whoever wins the division this weekend. Doesn't have to be a guarantee, but likely will decide whoever wins the series will hold on to it throughout the course of the next week.
Heartbreak City or incredible happiness come Monday morning?
Well, the one thing about Houston taking the series from the Rangers earlier this week is it appears more likely now that both those teams are going to get in unless they absolutely spit the bit.
Yeah, but you haven't won a division since 01.
No, I understand that.
Yeah, and you get a series at home and it's
might get a bye.
The quirky part of that, unless the Tigers' free fall continues, these two teams could very likely play each other in the wild card round.
They could.
Yeah. I hope they don't. I like seeing different matchups than more divisional stuff.
Well, the Guardians might completely track down the Tigers.
That'd be pretty remarkable.
It would be remarkable.
There's a radio host in Detroit that I would kind of get a kick out of seeing those tweets. Because everything's all roses in Detroit all the time.
You gonna explain this one away? I'll go happiness for the M's.
Okay.
Why not? You know? Right. What the hell?
I think so. Their starting pitching has started.
They've been playing better baseball over the last
in.
2 weeks.
Yep.
Just all took right. 2 out of 3 from the Royals yesterday. Their pitching's been good. I'll take the M's this weekend.
We'll see what they do this weekend. Mariners, Astros, pivotal one for the division race. Let's get into football. It is a football Friday. Is this on the radar? I'll tell you what it is next. Quick question for you that we're going to get to today. Have the nerds finally been defeated?
Oh, we've beaten the nerds.
Well, I heard something yesterday and I thought, thank you.
Yeah.
I don't try to pretend that I know every advanced analytic in football. I think people that read about it or hear it, it's totally fine to cite that, hey, I heard so-and-so say.
Yeah.
But also, like, I don't put all the weight in advanced analytics. And I heard something yesterday from somebody that made me go, man, that guy's not doing it, so like, why should I?
You kind of know what you're talking about, and you don't buy into it either, huh? All right.
I think he buys into it. He just doesn't use it as a way to measure success. And I think that is a very smart way to view it.
There's a lot of analytics that will point to things that don't make sense to me as somebody who watches a lot of football. When I see metrics and numbers and grades, and Pro Football Focus is great, and there's a lot of information that you can find from them about certain details of snap counts and, you know, all sorts of great things if you're curious. But then sometimes there are player grades that I just chuckle out of. I watch the game.
Yeah.
Where did you come up with what is the theory?
There are certainly those
this?
Rankings like, that you see on like a PFF, and we use them the most because it's probably the most popular advanced analytics website, I would guess.
I think so.
For football, for sure.
Most
for
available.
Football.
Most available.
Yeah. I see the same thing. Like this weekend, massive tilt in Eugene, Oregon. You know why? I don't know what the Ducks are going to do about this guy.
Hog him up, Sikorsky.
That's the best guard in football.
He's the number one graded guard in all of Pro Football Focus and college football through like 2 weeks.
You better watch out,
they can't
bud.
Run the ball at all.
Amari Washington, who?
It's clearly not just his fault. I'm not blaming him, but it's like, yeah, dude, when you can't run the football at all, I have a hard time believing you have the best guard in all of college football.
We got a Duck Bowl this weekend. I want to talk about that. It's 7 a.m.
We do, yeah.
We know it's a rivalry week. We have all been screwing that up, saying rivalry week because of the W and the R and the way it's all kind of phrased.
Rivalry week.
Rivalry week.
Wabbits.
What do you buy? Elmer Fudd.
I'm going wabbit hunting.
We going wabbit hunting.
How old was Elmer Fudd supposed to be? I always was confused as a kid by this. I couldn't tell if he was supposed to be a 60 to 70-year-old man.
Think,
I would have to be
I
a
think
late
he was
40s
a
year old
premature
man.
Bald.
Yeah.
I would guess he was more 40s than 60s.
I would have said upper 40s, lower 50s would have been my own.
I always had him at like 40 to 45, but then he'd turn, look at me as a kid, and he'd go,
hey, if you were chasing one thing in your life and you could never get it,
it's frustrating.
It would age the hell out of you, too.
Yeah, it's going to make you go bald pretty quickly.
Well, look, going bald, that's a genetic thing. Fudd didn't ask for that. That was something handed to him that he had no choice in the matter. I'm asking simply, when he talk to you.
Yeah, I thought low 50s. Low 50s the way you talk.
That was 40s, low 50s.
That's what I took away from
him. He wasn't old yet.
See, I don't know, man. I think he was a really good in shape late 60s, early 70s when he'd be like, wabbit season.
He's out there still active.
Yeah, he was still a little chubby.
Good for you,
Elmer Fudd. He hadn't hit the second midlife crisis yet where you skinny up.
I'd argue his entire life was a second midlife crisis. He was hunting one specific animal that was smarter than him.
Like, I know.
Instead of just going, I'm going to get the dumb rabbit that I can shoot and hang on my wall or eat.
Why don't you go find an animal that's not as fast as a rabbit? You might have a little bit more success shooting him, Elmer Fudd. Come
on. We're all chasing our unicorns.
Rethink our strategy here.
A couple weeks ago, I posted a random poll question that we were talking about on the show, as I like to do from time to time. And people that see it on Twitter will go, what the hell is this poll question? That's part of the show, right? It's part of the fun, I think, of doing the live show. I this person responded and said, basically, this is why you suck as a show. And I'm thinking of that person right now because...
Should we do one?
I
want to
post, how old do you think Elmer Fudd was?
Anybody not listening, what the hell are they talking about? Isn't it a football Friday today? Yeah, we spent about 10 minutes on Elmer Fudd.
Well, who will be the Elmer Fudd this weekend? Ooh. They're going big game win hunting.
But not going to find it?
Or
they are going to find it?
Those rascally wabbits are going to slip through their fingers and get God. Who is the team? Because I think it is an upset alert weekend. I think definitely some of that brewing. I am looking, like, for example... I tend to want to pick the home team in this contest, but like I'm looking at an Oklahoma because I have doubted Auburn and they've made me look stupid so far.
Yes.
I have a picture in my head of Jackson Arnold diving on a 3rd and 9 and picking it up with his legs and famously pointing in the stadium. I got first down. I came back and I beat you guys.
Is Hugh Freeze good again? Do we have to have that conversation on Monday?
Yeah.
If they went on the road at Oklahoma?
Right.
That's a pretty big win
for
him.
Who will be the Elmer Fudd this weekend of college football?
I have a very, now I'm not rooting for this to happen because for family purposes, I want for them to be happy. And this feels like their moment, but I've seen this be their moment so many times and this moment be too big for them and they're not able to go out and grab it and shoot that wabbit, if you will.
Okay.
I'm terrified for Nebraska this weekend. Terrified for Nebraska. Their head coach, who is always good in year threes, I'm just very scared off by the idea of him hosting a podcast the week of the big game, interviewing Dave Portnoy for his score prediction on the game that he's going to be coaching in. Is that not weird for anybody else? On his podcast, he's like, so Dave, what do you think the score is going to be? I'm like, you're the head coach in the game, and you're interviewing...
A diehard Michigan
fan. And he's like, you know, Michigan's going to kill you, and Underwood's great. And he's like laughing in the background. I'm going to take him 45-17. I don't know what his score prediction was, but I just saw that clip pop up on my Twitter timeline.
What would Nick Saban, the coach, think about that?
Hosting a podcast and interviewing somebody like some Georgia alum. What do you think we're going to do against Georgia this weekend? The other part of it, now again, I know that the teams, you would argue, are different, and it's not the same, and Nebraska's gotten better, and they're not quite what they have been. The last handful of times this game has happened, they've gone in thinking, hey, an upset chance. Like, I remember 2 years ago when Michigan won the national title. They went on the road to Lincoln. And I think Nebraska was undefeated. It was an early Big Ten game. They were feeling good. They just hired Matt Rhule. You know what the final score of that game was?
I don't.
The final score of that game was 45-7. And I'm pretty sure it was 45-0 at halftime.
Sheesh.
Like, they just got absolutely torched. The time before that, they played in Ann Arbor. The season before, it was 34-3. Michigan beat them in 2018, 56-10. They have dominated this game. There's a size and a physicality angle for Michigan that would scare me if I'm Nebraska. And as good as Raiola has looked, it has been largely against inferior teams because he didn't do great in their first game against Cincinnati. And Bryce Underwood, I feel like, is starting to pop a little bit and starting to figure things out, and they're using his legs. This is one where all the pressure to me is on one side. Nebraska needs a win to kind of claim, hey, we're heading back in the right direction. You got to win a game over a ranked team. Michigan is still ranked.
Yeah.
And Michigan, to me, is kind of playing this year with nothing to lose. Their head coach is suspended, and they have a true freshman at quarterback. They just won a title 2 years ago. If they lose, you just say it's fine. They'll be okay next year because Bryce Underwood's coming back.
I'm sure that's how Michigan fans going to handle that one, Andrew.
Yes.
Nothing to lose.
Of course people will overreact. You're not wrong. There's diehards in every fan base, but the bigger reaction of a loss will unquestionably be on Nebraska's side. If they lose this game again against a freshman quarterback at home in a big environment like that, I'm worried they're not going to shoot their wabbit this weekend.
You know, the only thing I would say, too, is I know he was in a loud, hostile environment a couple weeks ago on a primetime game.
Yeah, they just played at Oklahoma 2 weeks ago. And they had a chance to. I mean, they were in that game.
Again, I've never been to an Oklahoma Sooners game. But I know the stadium size difference, and I don't know if I've been in a louder moment than when I was at Nebraska, Oregon. And I just think, like, there is a difference in environment noise.
Yeah.
And
it's
maybe
be louder.
Maybe he's tested. He's a different type of quarterback at that young age. But
and I would even use that almost as a positive that this isn't the first time he's doing it. Because you can tell me Nebraska's louder than Oklahoma, and I won't disagree with you. I've never been in Oklahoma Stadium, so no frame of reference.
But it looks smaller,
it
right?
It does look a little bit smaller. I'm sure. I mean, once you're loud, it's kind of loud as loud to me. And I think that's good experience to have. Of you've played in an environment like that, you understand the noise. You understand what happens when you make a turnover, a bad play, and the crowd reacts, and the sideline's right on top of you. And now you got that kind of leaning on that experience going into this weekend.
You know, I got to give credit. It's bigger than I thought.
Oklahoma Stadium?
You know what? I'm going to take everything back. That was a stupid statement by me. It's only a 2,000-seat difference.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
That's crazy.
Based on the layout of the stadium, I would have guessed that Nebraska's would be bigger.
The way it looks the on way it TV, looks at on least TV. Aesthetically to me. Yeah.
Maybe Oklahoma's go bigger on the sidelines, maybe.
Isn't it more open, though? It goes...
It looks more bullish.
Because Memorial Stadium, the one side goes up where the press box
is. It's massive. Yeah, absolutely massive. So that's the one that I would... Because I was going to get to just teams that are under pressure this weekend in college football. To me, there's nobody under more pressure for a win. You could use a million different teams, and Oklahoma is probably a good one. I have Nebraska circled. Like, this is kind of their moment to, if they win this game, if you look at the rest of Nebraska's schedule, remember Pate picked them to go to the playoff at the start of the year. After this, they do have to go on the road to Penn State late in the year, but they get USC at home. They don't play Oregon. They don't play Ohio State. Very manageable schedule the rest of the way.
Let's do a little bit of a peekaboo on the Civil War, an aspect of it I want to talk about. So we'll get to that coming up next. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1, The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 The Fan. A Civil War Apple Cup Friday. More Civil War than Apple Cup, obviously. We'll get into some of that. I know we've touched on it all throughout the week. I have a Duck Bowl coming up. I want to talk about it at 7. Yeah. And have the Nerds been defeated? We'll get to that as well in the second hour of the program. A little bit of a peekaboo.
Nerd!
You're going down. One of my favorite moments of my life in media was Josh Wilcox on the concourse of the Moda Center with me and Dirt, eating, talking football, and he looked at us in the most serious manner and said, "The Nerds won."
I think we've won the battle, Wilcox. We might have, or they won the battle. We might have won the war in the long run.
I almost want to text Wilcox about what I'm going to talk about and be like, "Dude, I heard this. I think the Nerds are being defeated."
I think we're winning back.
Just to see if he responds and goes, "Hell yeah.
Hell yeah, dude." Shove him in a locker.
But a little bit of a
peekaboo
of the Civil War. So the athletic director of my fine institution has decided to crawl out of his multi-million dollar cave and say, "Everything's great. I listen to the fans. It's perfect. We got the right guy."
It's a pretty nice cave if it's a multi-million dollar cave.
Oh, he's got a
probably
good
got life. Some cool features in there.
He's got it set in Corvallis.
Race car bed, all sorts of stuff.
And he crawled out of his cave and he was like, "Hey guys, everything's great. It's fantastic. Got the right coach." And even though we kind of all know how the result is going to go, if you're going to say that publicly the week of this game, don't we need in some form or manner he has to have some evidence in some way, correct?
Of progress, of improvement, of punt. Can you punt? Can you long snap? Can you long snap this week?
Well, look, everybody on this show, just for the record going into it, is loudly telling you it's going to be a blowout, as we have said all week, and how this, like, I've had people reach out to me this week I haven't talked to in a minute, just like, dude, it's dead. And it's been on both sides. I've had Duck and Beaver fan. I had a diehard Duck fan to me yesterday ask where I was going to watch the game. And I have my youngest's soccer game is literally starting at the same time. So I'm like balancing, do I DVR? Do I watch on my phone and go back and rewatch the game? I know how it's going to go. And they're like, oh, I'm going to catch the first quarter. And this is somebody that never misses this game. This game matters to them. But it's like, oh, I'll catch the first quarter and then I got stuff to do. And that like was, whoa, okay. Yeah. And so I'm just asking, if your athletic director is coming out the week of the game, even when we know you're going to lose, you better damn well show that athletic director knows what he's talking about, even though nobody believes him when he says it.
Yeah, and that's where I think, you know, moral victories don't exist when you're, what, 1-10 in your last 11 games or 1-9 in your last 10 or whatever, but at least you're looking for small signs of life. You're looking for small signs of improvement, and that's what was so discouraging about the game at Texas Tech. We all assumed you were going to lose that game. We all assumed it would be probably in the end in blowout fashion. It was on your opening possession, you have a procedural penalty on the first play of the game. It's still not being able to long snap. Yeah. It's giving up 3rd-and-20 plays and conversions for touchdowns when you got guys that are jogging after the football. Like, those are little simple things that you can control. Now, you can't control at this point that you're playing teams who are more talented than you and who will likely beat you. But you can't control your effort. You can't control procedural stuff. You can control the ability after 3 weeks to find somebody who can long snap normally to a punter to not give the ball to the opponent at midfield. Like, all of those little things, if they don't happen again, you're just, I don't know how anybody is clinging to the idea that they know what they're doing and this is going to get any better. Like, you're probably going to get blown out this weekend. I think we all assume that's going to be the case. It doesn't mean you have to play incompetent, boneheaded football for 4 quarters and look like you don't belong and you're unprepared. It's one thing to not belong. It's another thing to be unprepared. And that's been the most alarming thing of the last 2 weeks, is they also look unprepared. And when you lack talent and you're unprepared, that's a really bad combination. It's the primary reason they're 0-3.
Yeah, I think that's the tough part for me is, like, I'm... when you stack the talent against it, it's like, yeah, it's obviously
like, if Oregon shows up and plays their A game, this is not a contest.
No.
Then there's the idea in the back of your head of, like, I have had this linger for me. I assume the game's going to be a blowout, but I've thought about it with the Apple Cup as well. Like, they have massive games next weekend. Mm-hmm. Washington is hosting the defending national champions at home with an opportunity for a massive win under Jed. That's a massive game at Husky Stadium.
And both their opponents, by the way, just coincidentally coming off byes.
And Oregon's going on the road to Penn State, which is unquestionably the biggest game of their season. And, like, you're playing rivals, yes. In the Washington one, at least they have the anger of losing the game last year.
Yes.
And on Oregon's side, you would say, well, they're upset about the way they performed last week, so they're going to want to try and improve on that. But human nature is human nature, man. Like, you cannot tell me a locker room of 18 to 22-year-olds are not thinking about how big next week is, and do you come in and take your eye off the ball early?
Well, see, that's yesterday when we did the big pack picks, that was the only reason I took points. It wasn't like a belief in, I'm going to take the side of the underdog because I went there.
Yeah.
It was literally like, what if it's 28-0 first quarter, and by the time they shout, it's 47-3. Yeah, dude. 4th string. Pack it in.
I mean, they scored 2 touchdowns in the 4th quarter against Texas Tech last week.
Yes. And so that Malik Murphy will be on the field probably. And that's, I text my buddy, because, like, what do you think he scored? I went back and I said the same score I told you guys, 52-17. And it's 10-52, but with 40 seconds left, Malik Murphy throws a garbage ass touchdown and nobody cares.
No.
It doesn't change.
Stadium's half empty at that point.
Right.
Nobody's watching the game anymore, but yeah.
And that was the only reason I said that, was because I do agree Lanning wants to clean up. I do agree that the rush defense, Oregon State can't run the ball anyway, but like that rush defense is probably going to have a goal of make them have negative yards outside of the sack numbers. And so, yeah, I think they come out strong. I think they play strong most of the way. And then they get to the point where it's like, we have Penn State. Everything we saw on film, we knew you guys would be. We handled our business. It's time to let the scrubs play, or the true freshmen, and then we'll move on to Penn State.
Yeah, I'm not going to give you any flowers if you come out and play, you know, competent penalty-free football and you can punt, but at least it would be a sign of things got slightly better from last week to this week. Even if the score is what we think the score is going to be, there are things that you should be able to clean up after 3 weeks of working on them.
Yes.
And if you still can't do it, there's no more evidence that you should need, and how anybody will continue to defend it will be baffling
to
me.
So I would add, I think that is something to point to, is like, what if they go penalty free? It's like, oh, look at that.
I'm not going to argue it means that you should keep your job, because I think you're incompetent, but at least it will be something to say, all right, that one area got better.
Yeah.
Now, can you go beat Houston on a Friday night?
No.
Probably not. But, you know, at least you showed progress in one area.
And it would be, I think, if they lose, it's 1-10 in the last 11?
I believe so.
So you're a game away. The Houston game would give you a full season.
A full season of 1-11 football if you are to lose that game. Even if you win it, 2-10 ain't very good.
Not great. Loaded second hour of the program. We have a lot to get to. Have the Nerds been defeated? But we started. We have a Duck Bowl in the National Football League. Hour 2, Dirt and Sprague, 105.1, The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.